Hey, future doctors. Thanks for joining me on Spoonful of Sugar, a podcast made for medical students by medical students to help the medicine go down. My name is Rhea Mulherker. I am currently a radiation oncology resident in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I will be your host today. Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rhea. I actually started the Spoonful of Sugar podcast back when I was a fourth year medical student at Drexel University. And now I'm actually a fourth year resident in radiation oncology in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm proud to say that the Spoonful of Sugar podcast is on its fourth season, and it's actually being run by an entire team of third and fourth year medical students. It's really meant to be a podcast for the students, by the students. And so that's what we're doing. Today's episode, if you're listening to this in the podcast format or presentation, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's actually some accompanying slides on the YouTube channel. They'll also be posted on our website in case you're just listening to the audio of this. But this content is a little bit different than what we normally offer on the podcast, where we review a board-related topic. Today's presentation is really to give a few tips for teaching effectively. And our current student board asked me to do this talk, and I thought I could kind of take care of two different areas. So number one, if you're interested in hosting an episode for Spoonful of Sugar, I'm hopeful that you can watch this presentation and kind of get a little bit of advice on how to produce an effective, high-quality episode that teaches or reviews a specific topic. And if you're not interested in hosting an episode, then maybe some of the advice that I share here from my experience with Spoonful of Sugar can at least help you when you're teaching in any other format down the road, whether it's just, you know, teaching other medical students or junior residents as you progress through residency, whether you're asked to give a formal lecture, whatever it is. I think that these tips are kind of universal and they can be adjusted to kind of fit the format of your teaching, whether it's a podcast episode, a short chalkboard talk in front of a small group of people, or an entire PowerPoint lecture. So I'm hopeful that you guys will get something out of this that can help you to teach down the road, because we do teach every single day in the medical field. I would like to give a little bit of a disclaimer before I get into these, get further into these slides. I am still a learner too. I'm learning every single day as a radiation oncology resident. The only reason that I think I'm remotely qualified to give a talk like this is because I have been hosting episodes for the Spoonful of Sugar podcast since 2019, and I've actually gained a lot of feedback from the listeners, and something seems to be working. And even when other students record episodes in a similar style, it really seems to be helping medical students. And so I kind of want to distill the formula and make it a little bit more approachable, more accessible, make it feel not so hard to do an episode for our podcast. But that said, I am still learning too. And there is plenty for me to continue to learn as a teacher as well. So the way that we'll do this presentation, I'll kind of just structure it with, first of all, choosing a topic, figuring out how to structure the material, and then getting into some of the different tactics that we can use to explain concepts and make it stick. And then I think that all of these topics that I'll talk about, from choosing a topic to making it stick, I think that all of this can be applied to any form of teaching, whether you're hosting an episode for us, like I said, or whether you're giving a lecture or whatever else it is you're doing. I think that these are universally applicable to any teaching scenario that you may find yourself in. At the very end, for those of you who are interested in applying all of this to actually hosting an episode for Spoonful of Sugar, I will go over some Spoonful of Sugar specific advice at the very end, okay? So the very first thing that we need to talk about is how to choose a topic, right? The first thing that you need to consider is, who are you presenting the topic to? What is your audience? So if you're watching this as a medical student, it's likely that you're thinking about teaching other medical students. So you really need to think about whether the material you're presenting is relevant to other medical students. And it's not just whether the material is relevant to them, but also whether the material is appropriate for their level. Something that I really struggled with as a medical student when I was being taught was that sometimes when we were on different clinical rotations and things like that, attendings would often seem to forget how little I knew about a particular topic. And so whenever they spoke about it very intelligently, but I didn't understand it because it was way above my level. And, you know, part of that could have been my own ignorance, and maybe I should have been studying more and been at that level. But I really do think that part of it was when you're an attending and you've been practicing for 10, 20 years, it's easy to forget how little you actually knew as a third or fourth year medical student. And so I really, really think one of the ways that we can combat that is to, number one, have other third and fourth year medical students teach each other or junior residents that have just been in those shoes. Number two is to never forget that feeling that you have when you're in a lecture and you don't understand what it is. Remember that feeling and try to put yourself in the shoes of your audience. Think about what level they're at. What are their, you know, what are they understanding from what you're giving? And when in doubt, I would say, try to simplify the topic more than you think you need to. So it's really, really important to consider your audience when you're choosing a topic. The other thing that you need to consider is the time and space that you've been allotted for your presentation. So obviously, if it's Spoonful of Sugar, the time and space is a 30-minute averaging, you know, audio-only podcast episode. So if you're thinking about that, consider, is this topic amenable to an around 30 minutes long audio-only format? If you're giving a PowerPoint, think about how you can use images. If you're giving a chalkboard talk, think about kind of what you can draw out. So really think about the time and space for your presentation. Don't try to bite off more than you can necessarily chew. If you are hosting an episode for Spoonful of Sugar, I have found that choosing either one, maybe up to two pages within a first aid book, I use the first aid book every single time I would sit down to write an episode reviewing some type of content. So the vasculitis episode, for example, I think it's 1.5 to 2 pages in the first aid book. And that type of a thing typically works well for an episode that's approximately 30 minutes in length. So if you open up first aid, find a topic that you might be interested in teaching about, and you look at how they've kind of blocked out the different sections, typically 1 to 2 pages within first aid is amenable to a 30-minute audio-only podcast episode. Now, that said, depending on what you're teaching about, if it's a 5-minute presentation versus 1-hour-long presentation, obviously there's going to be some give and take in terms of what you should and shouldn't include, and really what you can and can't include, given those time constraints. So very important, the first thing to keep in mind when you're teaching anything is to pick a topic that's appropriate for your audience, interesting to your audience, and then appropriate for the time and space. And really, more people are guilty of, I think, biting off more than is appropriate for a given amount of time than less. So try to err on the side of keeping it shorter, if you know what I mean. The next thing that is super, super important is figuring out a way to structure the material. Several years ago now, I used to watch this show, Sherlock Holmes, with Benedict Cumberbatch. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but in that episode, he frequently, when he's thinking, he talks about visiting the space in his mind called the Mind Palace. And I actually read a book on memory and how people can enhance their memory and how people remember things better. And there are actually folks out there that memorize things competitively. So they'll take like an entire deck of cards that's completely shuffled, and within just a couple of minutes, they'll go through the deck of cards one time and they'll have the entire order of the cards memorized. And it's not necessarily because they have eidetic memory, but it's because they have these memory devices that they've created within their mind, a literal mind palace that they can access. So when they get new information, they have a system of storing and organizing it. And then whenever it's time to go back and recall that information, they can just access that system that they've created within their mind. And I think everyone has their own mind palace, right? We all have our own way of picturing things, whether it's just the months of the year or something more complicated, like the different kinds of anemia, right? We all have our own mind palace, and we have a way that we structure, organize, store, file away this material within our brains. So what I suggest to you is that when you're presenting your topic, number one, you tell your audience what the presentation is going to be about, and then you give them a way to structure it within their mind. So one example of this might be, you can say, it's kind of a tree diagram, right? We have different kinds of anemia, let's say, and we divide the different types of anemia based on how the cells are. So there might be a microcytic versus a macrocytic anemia, right? Or hyponatremia, for example, is divided based on the tonicity of the water. So whether it's hypotonic, isotonic, or hypertonic hyponatremia, right? So present the material and then give your audience a way of structuring that material. Whether the disorders are classified differently based on a characteristic, such as the cell size and anemia. Or maybe if you're presenting a topic like myocardial infarction, for example, you can say that we're going to start off by talking about the pathophysiology of it. We'll talk about what happens to the cells at a molecular level during a heart attack. Then we'll talk about the presentation. How does it affect our actual patient in front of us? And then how do we diagnose it? How do we treat it? How do we manage it long term? And what are the long term complications? So give your audience a way to structure the material so that as you're going through your little talk, no matter how long or short it is, they have that structure in mind and you're giving them that mind palace. You can give them a way of kind of accessing that material later. I think it's really, really important to provide that structure and provide a fallback for them. So if they forget all the different kinds of hyponatremia down the road, if they remember that, okay, there are three different kinds. So the first step is for me to figure out what is the tonicity. Maybe that can help them kind of understand the material a little bit better. So give them a really good structure. Now, this is where I think as teachers, we can make the biggest impact is by explaining concepts. One of the things that stands out to us about a good book, a good TV show, a good movie, is that it's a really compelling story, right? Certain things happen, certain events take place, and either the way that people react or the things that happen, the reactions to those things, either they make sense or they don't. And sometimes they don't make sense at the beginning, but then at the end, maybe there's a plot twist and you find out, oh, this is the reason that a character was acting funny all along. They were actually disguised as somebody else. That event at the end of the story often makes everything that you just watched or read, you know, make a lot of sense. And it kind of completes the story and it makes a lot of sense. So the same concept, I think, applies when you're teaching something in medicine, right? Everything in our body is happening for a particular reason. And all of medicine and science really is trying to figure out why things are the way they are. So when you're explaining a disease or when you're explaining a pathophysiology of something, tell it like a story and explain it in a way that makes sense. And think about what it took for that thing to make sense to you, right? I'm not going to pretend like there's not a ton of stuff in medicine that we don't understand. I'm not going to pretend like medical school is easy and everything is always making sense and kind of laid out to us perfectly like a story. That's not true, right? Certain things you just have to memorize. Like you just have to memorize the different types of glycogen storage diseases, right? You just have to memorize them. You have to know that they exist. But when possible, try to make it interesting and try to tie subjects together. So it's okay to say things like, now let's discuss the pathophysiology. But consider simplifying or just adding things like, so why does this disease even happen, right? Pathophysiology is a complicated term that we use to describe how a particular disease happens. But when you're talking about it, try to make it more accessible, right? How does this disease even happen? We all know what pathophysiology is, but it's easier for us to pay attention to and to keep our interest in something that makes sense. You can also say things like the cardiac output is a stroke volume times the heart rate, right? That's an equation we all probably need to know. However, if you can simplify it by actually saying what that means, right? The cardiac output tells us the exact volume of blood that the heart is pumping out per minute. And that's based on how much blood is pumped out with each stroke and how many strokes per minute. That kind of helps that. It's a longer explanation, but it helps to explain the formula. So if you don't actually know what stroke volume is, you need to kind of break that down for your listeners. Obviously, I'm choosing very basic examples here, but I'm trying to say that it's really, really important to explain things, okay? Another example, this increases the afterload. Explain that to your audience. What is afterload, right? That means that our arteries beyond the heart are kind of constricting. And it's making it harder for the heart to pump out blood because the heart pumps out blood into all these arteries throughout our body. But if those arteries are constricting, it makes it harder for the heart to pump out blood, and that increases your afterload. That's what that means. So explain things in a way that makes sense. Explain them as simply as possible. And when you're able to, try to tell it like a story. And another really important part of a story is that sometimes we make connections between different subjects or different characters. And so when you're able to connect concepts across different subjects, I think that's really valuable to your listeners, especially when you're trying to prepare for something like the Step 1 board exam, which really tests things in a kind of interdisciplinary way, right? So let's say you're talking about a disease and you talk about a treatment and you mention a drug. And the mechanism for that drug is some concept from biochemistry. If you can, make a callback to that biochemistry lecture that they probably had as a first-year medical student, if you can say, oh yeah, remember this receptor that you might have learned about months and months ago? That's the receptor that this drug is interacting with. It's blocking the action of that receptor, and that's why the treatment works. Something like that, connecting concepts across subjects when you're able to. Or if you're talking about thyroid cancer and you mentioned somoma bodies, it might not hurt to just say, oh, yeah, these are the four different cancers where you might see somoma bodies or the four different tumors. So try to connect concepts across subjects when you're able to, and just try to make it make sense. Okay. And then finally, how do we make it stick? So one strategy that we have employed in Spoonful of Sugar is to try and ask a lot of questions. When you're giving a talk, we've all been there. We've all been in the classroom getting a lecture, right? And it can be really boring sometimes. It can be really hard to stay awake and pay attention. But if you ask a lot of questions, I think that is really key to allowing your listeners to stay actively engaged. And it doesn't even have to be a question that you want an answer to, but just phrasing things like a question oftentimes makes people kind of pique their interest, like, oh yeah, how do we make it stick, right? So asking lots of questions, and if you can, like we at Spoonful of Sugar, on each of our episodes, we try to ask questions and actually give a pause so that people can think about it. Because that way, they're not just listening to a review lecture, they're actually forcing themselves to kind of go back, rack their brains, and think about the answer. And if they don't get it right, that's okay. There's no punishment. This is just a podcast episode that they're listening to, but it allows them to stay engaged. It allows them to feel like they're actively involved in the lecture. The other thing that's super, super helpful is to offer memory devices, right? The structure that we talked about, that mind palace, that is a little bit of a memory device too, because you can kind of access that and be like, oh yeah, so there's the three types of hyponatremia that are divided based on tonicity. So that's one way of remembering things, is to just remember the structure and have a picture of that in your brain. But there's tons of other things that you can remember too, like stupid mnemonics, acronyms, things that rhyme. One of my favorite memory devices from first aid is about when you give saline and you don't want to correct the sodium too quickly, or you don't want to change the sodium levels in the blood too quickly at all, right? Because from high to low, your brains will blow. From low to high, your pons will die. I will never forget that little mnemonic that first aid offered. First aid is full of these, but try to incorporate these into your lectures or your talks or your episodes, whatever it is you're doing. Because I really think that these silly mnemonics, acronyms, ways of remembering, they really help to make it stick. And the goal is to give something, present a review or present a topic that you're teaching, and have your learners walk away feeling like they understood something and feeling like they can remember it later on. Okay. So one of the things that I have realized from being a learner myself is that I have a lot of fun learning when things make sense. So your job as a teacher is to make things make sense. And by doing that, you're automatically going to make it fun. If you're teaching medical students, especially, we are all nerds. We love the human body. We love learning about the little, you know, how things work inside of the body. And when things make a lot of sense, it's a lot of fun. So harken back to the moment when you were learning about a particular topic. Think about what it took for that light bulb to go off, what it took for things to click and finally make sense, and try to bring that about in your learners too. Make it make sense. And by doing that, you're automatically going to make it fun. And then finally, it's really important, I think, to kind of keep it light. And this is especially applies to Spoonful of Sugar, but I think in general when you're teaching, I really think that the Socratic method is great. It's really, really useful, but we also want to promote psychological safety in education, right? We always, when we're teaching and when we're asking questions to other people, I always try to emphasize that the goal of all these questions is not to make you look stupid. It's not to make you feel bad that you don't know something. Oftentimes the questions that we get wrong when it doesn't matter as much, maybe when it's in a class or when your attending is asking you something, those are the questions that we will never miss again when it truly matters, for example, on your board exams. So I always, always, always reassure when I am teaching why I'm asking questions, what the goal is. Mistakes are not just okay, they're expected, right? When people are learning, we expect them to make mistakes. We want them to ask different questions. I always try to really promote that psychological safety because I think it's important. I think it's something that wasn't always done in medicine. And I think, you know, moving forward, we really want to promote an environment where all learners feel safe and they feel like they're cared for. So questions are important, but it's really important also, I think, to emphasize that it's just for learning. Mistakes are expected and it's more than okay to get things wrong. Okay. So hopefully some of these tips are useful to you guys as you're thinking about teaching anything, whether it's a podcast episode or whether it's something else, you know, just a 5-minute chalk talk, a 1-hour long lecture, whatever it is you're thinking about teaching. On this last slide, I have a little bit of a rubric. It's very, very wordy, but I just want to give some guidance for those of you who are interested in recording an episode for Spoonful of Sugar. How do we apply all of this to our podcast episodes? The goal is for medical students to create high quality episodes that review a particular topic that's related to the USMLE board exams in an easy, fun, approachable way by asking lots of questions and using lots of mnemonics and memory devices to make things stick. So when you're thinking about submitting an episode for Spoonful of Sugar, the rubric that we're using really has, I think it's 7 different parameters. So number one, the topic. Is it relevant to the medical students who will be listening? Is it appropriate for, we try to aim for having episodes that are around 30 minutes in length. So is it appropriate for that? The content as well. Are all of the important aspects of the topic properly covered? Is the information presented accurate? Is it structured in a straightforward, logical manner? Are you building that mind palace for your listeners? Clarity, we obviously want to make sure that the speaker is easy to understand, that they try to make an effort to simplify, explain topics in a super accessible way. Engagement, are they kind of engaging the audience by asking questions, using memory devices and mnemonics? And finally, the quality of the audio. We want to make sure that it's clearly audible, the volume is good, and things like that. So based on everything that I just talked about, I think hopefully all of that made sense and why you should try to teach in a way that's approachable, accessible, and fun, and in a way that really makes sense. And this rubric is basically putting all of that in a formal, you know, table so that when our student board is getting in new requests to be, you know, featured on the podcast, they can kind of look at the recordings and kind of process them in a way that's kind of organized. So I just want all of our potential hosts who will be potential team members on Spoonful of Sugar to just realize that We are really interested in making high quality content. We obviously want to engage a lot of medical students as hosts, and we want to give you a chance to teach something that's important to you. But we also want to make sure that the episode is very accessible and it's easy for listeners to learn and review, and it's not super toxic. We want to make learning as fun and as easy as possible. So that is all I have. I am really grateful to anybody who stuck with me the whole time and watched that entire presentation. I hope somebody found it useful for whether it's for the podcast or some other teaching project. I hope that you can hopefully apply some of this advice into your future endeavors. So with that, I will sign off and thank you guys so much for your time.